one verse, Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Simply says these words: salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. I'll read that again. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Amen. Now, if I was to ask you this morning a question, and that question was, what are man's greatest challenges today? I wonder what you'd say. I wonder what you'd say. You may well say, climate change. Climate change. Particularly if you've been stuck in a traffic jam, which has been where the motorway has been blocked by, I forgot what they're called now. Distinction? Extinction. Extinction. Yeah, whatever it is. Rebellion, that's Extinction Rebellion. You might have been in your car, stuck in a 4-hour traffic jam because there's some enthusiastic people sitting on the motorway and blocking your exits. You would not have been happy. So some people might say climate change is the greatest challenge that we face today. In fact, in November this year in Glasgow, there will be a climate change summit, and it will be a gathering of world leaders. And in preparation from that, there's a report that's been given by Alexa Phillips from Sky, and which opens up some of the information that's in a government document that they will be discussing when they go there. It includes things like, by 2030, 10 million people will die from greenhouse gas emissions. Things like 400 million people will be unable to work outside because of the rising temperatures. By 2040, 700 million will be exposed to severe droughts lasting up to 6 months or more. By 2050, agricultural output could drop by up to 30%, whilst the population will rise by 50% on planet Earth. 70% of people will experience heat waves. 70% of the population of the world. And of course, there will be increasing flood levels as the sea slightly begins to rise with the melting of the ice caps. Dr. Daniel Quiggan, was one of the people who helped put this report together, says this: there is increasing possibility that climate-related events will trigger a sequence of connected incidents across regions and sectors which cause trade disputes, political instability, increased migration, an increase in infectious diseases, or even armed conflict due to this change of circumstance. And the World Health Organization, they say that sea levels are rising, glaciers are melting, precipitation patterns are changing, extreme weather events are becoming more intense and frequent, and climate change affects the social and environmental determinants of health, such as clean air, safe drinking water, sufficient food, and secure shelter. A lot to talk about. That's some of the stuff that's going to be discussed by some of these world leaders. So it could well be that if you ask the question, what is the greatest challenge faced by man today, it is climate change. Or it could be resources. Global resource extraction has grown steadily over the past 30 years, from 40 billion tons to 58 billion tons. And that was back in 2005, this figure. So it's obviously more than that now. And basically, that's an average rise of 45%. And that means it's things like the extraction of iron ore and aluminium and copper, and all those metals, as well as the precious stones extracted from the earth, and the damage that's done in doing that. But it's also the bio stuff, which is like forests. like oil. It's like those stuff which are part of the earth, as it were. And we can see the fruits of those things. And they are diminishing. They are diminishing. Some of those things will diminish, not to be replaced. Things like trees can be replanted, and progress has been made there. But resources is a genuine issue that will cause problems for mankind. And so some could say, no, it's not climate change, it's resources. Others might say it's disease. After all, we've been whacked by one which is relatively, in comparison to some of the plagues that's hit the planet, relatively okay. And I say that guardedly, because it still takes people's lives. But it could have been a lot worse. In 2019, 55 million deaths by sickness across the earth. And so some could say, well, it's the increasing issue concerning disease. It's not disappeared. It's still there. But this morning I put to you that the greatest challenge that faces mankind today is actually us. It's man himself. We are the greatest challenge that we face in these days. We are by far the most destructive element on the planet. We are the primary cause of global warming. It's us. With all the stuff that we emit and the lifestyle that we have. We are the cause of the decline in the Earth's resources. It's natural. We need these things. And so as population grows, we dig further and we do further damage in one sense. And we are our own worst enemy when it comes to our health. 58 million deaths across the world in 2019, a large proportion of the 55 million that was caused by sickness was self-inflicted, in the sense of our lifestyle, smoking, drugs, overweight, chemicals in our food, all that kind of stuff that we do to enjoy the lifestyle that we have, leading to things like heart issues, like cancer, like respiratory issues, which are at the top of the scale when it comes to stuff that actually kills us. The remaining 3 million are self-inflicted violent deaths by murder, accidents, suicide, car accidents. So it doesn't take a genius to take a look at man and to see that something is not quite right with us. Something is not quite right with us. It's not our environment that's the big bad enemy. The biggest enemy is us, ourselves. Now, governments try their hardest to solve man's issues. And we need to give them our full support in that sense. They're doing their best from a human point of view, looking at our environment, looking at our resources, looking at the distribution of our resources across the planet, looking at the physical needs, looking at the mental health needs and well-being, which has mushroomed over this period and has been recognized as a genuine issue, just as genuine as if you broke your arm. All these things, governments are involved in trying to solve and to put a plaster over. And it's as if man is chipping away at these things, but actually, we are failing people by not addressing the heart of man's problem. And that is the problem of man's heart. Because Matthew 15:19 says, "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander." Romans 1:29-33, there's another list there. "They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. And shame upon us, we do. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they are not only continue to do these things, but approve of those who practice them. And Galatians 19:21 says this: the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of God's Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and the hardest of the lot, self-control. Because man finds it, we find it, I find it hard at times to control myself and my passions. Against such things, there is no law. Praise God. So there is hope. And when we talk about a Spirit-filled church, one of the essence of that is, of the doctrines, is that of full salvation. That salvation meets man's greatest need. It meets man's greatest need. And it's termed full salvation because it incorporates the whole man. See, our governments will fail because they don't include in the mix God. They don't include Christ, the one who came to save us, in that mix. And therefore, there will always be an element that is missing in their deliberations, in their attempts to try and solve man's issues. And they don't include the problem of man's heart. Where this evil stuff comes from, where this wrong thinking comes from, where this wrong actions comes from, the way that we treat each other, and the boundaries that are there through mankind, whether it be by race, by color, by boundaries, all different kinds of strata across mankind, class systems, etc., etc. Those will never be addressed just by rules and regulations. Something has to change within man. And until that's actually involved in those deliberations, we will fail. It will not be a perfect solution. Full salvation incorporates all the needs of man. Physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Spiritually. For us as Pentecostals, it means that Jesus is the Savior and the Healer, as well as the baptized and coming King. But Savior and Healer gets those two aspects, the spiritual but also the practical. Because there's no doubt about it, when Jesus was here, the incredible miracles that he, and then through his apostles, and now through his church, of the miraculous intervention in people's lives, never was that meant to be the be-all and end-all. It always pointed to the one who gave the miracle. It always pointed to Jesus. It always pointed to God and gave open people's attention to think, God is real. That was its purpose. Never intended to be healed, see you, go about your daily business, forget about God. No, no, no. It was always pointing to the Lord. And therefore, what is the greatest need? It's saying that our greatest need is not the practical, although that is important. And, for us as a church, getting involved in the practical needs of our community has been really good, and I pray for more of that to continue to develop. But we have something which is far more important, and if we don't tell it, the church, nobody else will. So we are obligated to make the gospel the priority. backed up by the practical works, but not the other way around. Time and energy must not be overspent on dealing with the symptoms, because all these bad stuff that happen are the symptoms of something that's not quite right. We know what it is. It came from the fall when sin entered into our lives and entered into our world. And it wrecked the creation and it wrecked man, so that we are scarred and we need to be healed from that. And only Jesus can do it. We only have to look at the Old Testament system to see how serious sin really is and the high price there is to be paid for this curse that's upon man, where this stuff comes out of us. Do you know that the total annual sacrifices of bulls, rams, lambs and goats in the old sacrificial system, where the sins of the people of Israel were covered by animal sacrifice, over 1,273 sacrifices every year were made for the sin of the people. That's a lot of blood. It means, you know, while the carpenter is going about his business, blood was being shed. While the mum was looking after her kids, blood was being shed. While the office workers were going to work, blood was being shed. While new life was being born, blood was being shed. Etc., etc. And that's how serious God views sin. Therefore, something had to be done if he wanted to claim a people for himself, to have children like himself, like his son Jesus. Something had to be done to deal with this sin issue, the heart of man's problem. Sin is universal. Psalm 14:3. All have turned away, all have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. Is that true? Not even one? Is that true? Is it true in this room? Is anybody here free from wrong actions or thoughts? Sorry, I'm putting my hand up. But no, I'm not. Definitely not. We're not, are we? We know it's there. We know it's there. So the Bible's absolutely correct. Ecclesiastes 7:20, indeed, there is no one on earth who is righteous, no one who does what is right and never sins. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3:23 tells us. So sin is universal. Sin is also very serious. We've seen how much effort was put in the Old Testament to try and cover man's sin, but it never ultimately solved the issue, because that had to keep on being repeated. And sin separates man from God. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear you. Isaiah 59:2. And of course, separation from God, not having relationship with God, means that there will be judgment. We will be out of his presence when it comes to eternity. And that, my friends, is hell. The problem is, man cannot deal with his problem. Man, we've not solved it yet. These feelings still come out of us. So man has failed in all his progress in going to the moon and now looking out to Mars and looking out to Jupiter and going further afield. We still haven't solved the basic issue, and that is us. Why do we do this stuff? And why do we have these attitudes which are anti-God, which are wrong? Man can't do it, but God can. And God has. Isaiah 53, he was pierced for our transgressions. Speaking of Jesus, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. By his wounds, we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. I remember seeing a film called The Bazaar de la Charité. For those of you who speak French, forgive me. I think that's how you say it. The Bazaar de la Charité. And I remember seeing this film, and it really cut me to the heart, I think because of the awfulness of the situation. We're going back into 1897 in Paris, and on a road called Rue Jean Goujon. And a large wooden warehouse was taken over by charities. The organizer, the idea was to bring, and it happened every year, was to bring a lot of different charities who were doing good, who were looking after the needs, the physical needs of people by raising money for their various charities. And they would be under one roof, and it was a big day. It was predominantly, what got me was it was predominantly women. So 75%+ of those who were gathered there were high-powered women in the society, raising a lot of money. And they transformed this warehouse into a medieval street. So it was made up of painted wood, cardboard, cloth, and paper mache to transform the inside of this hall into a medieval street. And one of the key attractions that was going to be there was a cinematograph. Oh, yeah, I think it was a cinematograph. How could I just say it? Cinematograph. That's it, cinematograph. So the early versions of moving pictures. And of course you would use lanterns. They were using lanterns to ether lamps to do this in a small back room and then to project outwards. On the afternoon of the 4th of May, the projection equipment sparked while they're trying to change over some equipment, and it caught fire. And it just went through this building so quickly because of all those materials. People were packed in there, and they're not even wearing clothes that we wear. They're wearing big dresses, cumbersome stuff that the women would have been wearing back then. And the panic immediately began. Exits were not properly signposted, and they were blocked quickly. People couldn't get out because of people in front of them. And in the film, it really captures the panic of that so graphically. I just felt so sad when I watched it. I thought, wow, normal men and women trapped in this awful thing. 126 lost their lives. 200 further were injured. And it caused them to look at exits in buildings from that point onwards. It was devastating in Paris. And as I looked at that, a number of things crossed my mind. The bazaar was there to raise money for those in physical needs. While that was going on, however, there was an underlying fire in a tiny corner, unknown, gathering pace, and then suddenly just exploded and rushed out, and the whole thing caught fire. And that was of greater importance than what they were doing. The physical needs of people are important, but their spiritual condition is of far greater importance, but is paid the least bit of attention by the world. And if not addressed, it catches fire. That's our job. It's our job, people, the church. It's our job to take the gospel. And the fire exits that we need to put up there in neon lights flash Jesus. That's the way of escape. That's the way out. That's the way to be delivered from these issues. He is the way. There are no other people equipped to give this message of good news than God's people, followers of Jesus Christ. It therefore has to be our priority. And it doesn't end there, because we're not saved just to be rescued and that end of story. We are saved to be transformed. God's purpose in Christ is to take men and women who have been disfigured by sin and remake them in the image of His Son. Romans 8:29, for those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Have you heard of Katie Piper? Katie Piper was the unfortunate young woman who broke up with a boyfriend, and her jealous boyfriend, with an accomplice, threw acid over her face. She was a model formerly. And he threw acid over her face, causing damage, serious damage to her face, and blindness in one eye. And she underwent major pioneer surgery to try and reconstruct her face and her vision. She has had over 200 operations on her face, and it's ongoing. She needs to be in there several times in the year. Praise God. She has made a good confession of Jesus Christ. She's written a book about her faith, and she says that maybe God used this for a purpose. God is in the reconstruction business. Rebuilding us from the inside outwards, because we need a transformation. As serious as her transformation needs to be. And we need that kind of attention from the Lord. God doesn't just save us, snatch us from flames, as it were. He saves us then to work on us and to transform us into the image of His Son, who is spotless, who is free from sin, free from the guilt of sin and all that goes with it, who is perfect and acceptable to the Father. That is the work of reconstruction that Jesus set out to do through the cross. Not just to save us from the penalty of our sins, but to then also reconstruct our lives to be more like Jesus. And we as the church, as a Pentecostal church who preach the full gospel, Jesus Savior, healer, the one who covers all the bases of mankind's needs, we must believe with all our hearts that the gospel really is the power of salvation for all who believe. For all who believe. We can't half believe that. We have to believe it with all of our hearts. Because that's actually what's happened to us. And now we have the privilege of being children of God, to share it with others who are not yet in the fold. What was that original scripture? Salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Hallelujah. And that brings us to communion this morning. In a moment we're going to break bread, but before we do, I'm just going to ask us just to close our eyes. I want to give opportunity, if there's anyone here this morning and God's spoken to you, you don't know Jesus, or it might be that you do know Jesus, but you've backslid, you're not in the place where you once were. Maybe today you're saying, Lord, I now realize afresh the cost, why you came and the cost you were willing to pay to not only save me, but to reconstruct my life in a way that will please you. will fit me, not just for this life, but for eternity. I want you, Jesus. If that's you, just give me a wave just before I pray and we break bread together. You're saying, Glenn, I want Jesus. I want Jesus. I'm just looking around as I give you that opportunity. If you could come back, please.